Evening and welcome to the Brook Hill Church. As always, we appreciate so much everybody who's here. Appreciate those that are listening online. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope that you join in our services praising the Lord. We're going to ask Brother Larry now if he'll come forward and lead us in our opening prayer.
Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have the health and all to be here this evening to study from your word, to sing songs and praise to you. We pray that our service will be pleasing to you. Father, we pray that you'll help us to remove all the cares and concerns of the world from our minds and think solely upon you and all you've done for us, upon Jesus, so that our worship will be from the heart. Father, we praise you as the creator of the universe and all that is in it, the giver and ever good and perfect gift. We're thankful for all the things that you give us. Father, we're especially thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice, for giving his life that we might have life. Father, we're mindful of those among us who are sick, those who need our prayers. We pray that you'll be with them, that you will comfort them, especially those who are sick with the virus now. Father, we know we often sin and fall short of what you'd have us do and be in this life. We pray that you forgive us of those things, that you will help us to straighten our lives out and follow you as we should. Pray that you help us to be more like Jesus every day. Father, we pray that you go with us through this worship service. Pray that you will guard, guide, and direct us in the future. Forgive us when we sin. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Oh, the food.
enough. It could be any age, or it might be a time in your life. You might be even 30, 40, 50, 60. You might even be in your 80s, and you realize you're not saved. You're not a Christian. It's time to become a Christian. It's time to do what the Lord wants you to do. Let's sing a song that reminds us. I am a sheep. I am a sheep. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-B-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-B-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. I am a C. To our Bible class. We're going to be in Genesis now, chapter 1. It's where we're going to be. Chapter 1. Okay. Genesis chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Now everything's ready now. We've talked about the first 4 days. Everything's in place now for living creatures to inhabit the earth. Everything's here now. The water's ready. The water's at the right temperature. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. It's the right temperature now. The moon's in the proper place, because if it was too far away or too close, the tides would be so high that all the land would be occupied. So the moon's in the right place. The sun's in the right place so we can have the right temperature. The vegetation is right. In the water, we have seaweed and growing and things like that for the fish food. And you have the air is ready. You have the clouds that are ready. You have the birds are getting ready to come, because now we have trees where they can make nests. And you have all the vegetation. Everything's ready now for day 5. Because now we're going to have God create the animals, the birds, and man. And the difference is now they're going to have life. That means they're going to have breath. Now, some people say, well, plants grow. Yes, they do, but they don't have breath. That's the difference. They're living organisms, we might say, but they're not the same as we would understand the idea of being able to breathe. And so that's what we have now. Now, how did we get there? Let's just review a little bit how we got there. Now, remember the purpose of this class. Now, we want to see the glory of God in this creation. And then we can glorify God for what he did. And the glory of God now is all his attributes. That's all his characteristics. All that makes up God is shown in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, remember how we talked about how we use repetition? And now we've studied it for 4 days. You can see 30 times it's God who's doing this. God said that's how things were created. You have the evening and the morning, and it's 24 hours. We'll talk about that in a minute. The word light is used. Each day you see the different things. God said, let there be. It was so. God said it was good. Evening and morning. So you see, those are the things that are repeated over and over again so far in the first 20-some verses. Those are the things that are important because God couldn't use underlines and he couldn't capitalize italics. That's what's important. And you see so far the universe and the solar system, which is really the same, the atmosphere, plants. Now you're going to have animals and fish and birds, man and woman. They're all going to be created, all the beginning here. Day one, when was it? In the beginning. That's all we have. And remember, one thing you're going to learn as you study Genesis, you're going to have lots of things. You're going to probably at least sometimes say, boy, I never knew that. I didn't realize God said that. But then you're going to leave with 10 other questions that aren't going to be answered. And all we can say is, when? It was the beginning. Now, roughly, when the people who know a little bit more about it than we do, say it could be anywhere from 6 to 10,000 years. Probably. Now, of course, you hear the millions and millions and millions and billions of years, and that's because that's what you need for evolution. But probably 6 to 10. Some people go to 20,000, but it's not. And it's not as old as the people like to teach us in our many books. And it's because when God made something, in a few moments, we're going to talk about the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was created on the sixth day. And it was a place you could hide in. It was a place with trees. It was already a beautiful place. It wasn't like waiting for something to grow up. It was taken care of. It was already big. And so we need to remember that. Who and what? God created. That means the word there, of course, is B-A-R-A, out of nothing. He created out of nothing. That's the difference. The Big Bang Theory says somewhere, sometime, some kind of matter, which we don't know who made it, what it was, it exploded and made our universe the way it is. That's not what the Bible says. And you have to believe verse 1. If you don't believe verse 1, the rest of the Bible means nothing to you. If verse 1's not true, then nothing else is true. And if verse 2 is not true, then the rest of the Bible. That's how important this is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, what kind of light? Because the sun didn't come up till later, till fourth day. I don't know, but there was light. God can make anything. He can make anything. And there was light. And you have light referring to the day, of course. And darkness was the night. How long was a day? 24 hours. That's the word day is used in the Bible. And in Exodus 20, they were told to keep this. God made the earth in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. Now on this seventh day, you keep the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was 24 hours. And it's the same word that's used. It is important. God doesn't need, he doesn't even need 24 hours, but he took 24 hours. Day two, you have the firmament. And that's the space between the land and the air, the sky and the water. There you have that being made by God. And the water went up to form clouds, atmosphere and sky, and the water went down. The earth is the only planet, that's known planet, to have liquid water. Only one. So if anyone lives on any of these other planets, they don't live with water. They're a different makeup than we have. 70% of the planet is made up of water. Day two ended without God saying it was good. Do you remember why? Do you remember why? Someone tell me, why? Why did we say that happened? Why didn't he say it was good? He wasn't what? He wasn't finished with the water yet. And that's what's going to happen in day three. He said, let the waters on the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Now, I don't know If the water went down and the land went up, or the land went up and the water went down, either way, you have the waters being separated in the land. And then he says it's good. He's finished with water now, in the sense that he's made it, put it in the right place, and land is in the right place. And there's the land, the dry land. It wasn't with vegetation or anything. He made dry land. In fact, that's the word, land. He made the dry. The word land is put in there to make it go smoothly in English. He made dry. And there's the dry. Then he made, the first thing he made was small vegetation, which we would say is grass. Now, these are just, symbols, but something like grass. And then he made the shrubs. That's the bushes and the little trees. And then he made the fruit-yielding trees. And then he put it all together. There it is. There's the mountains and there's the land and everything. It's ready now. And they were all told to reproduce after their kind. And that's important for us to understand. Produce after our kind. When you look at this, there's a cucumber. And cucumbers. And then you planted these seeds. Tomato seeds became tomatoes. And sunflowers became sunflowers. And watermelons became watermelons. That's after his kind. That's a distinct. Now, there's different kinds of watermelon, maybe. And there's different kinds cantaloupe, maybe, and corn. There's yellow corn, white corn. But it's still corn. That was a principle. That was a boundary. And that's important for us to understand. Then, all God's creations, that they all have, they're different than each other. But God delights in variety. And those are some of the things we said. Notice the symmetry. Day one and day four. You have day one producing light. Day four, you have sun, moon, and stars. Day two, you had the seas. And then from day five, you have the fish and sky, the birds. And day three, you have the land. And then six, you have the animals that come on it and the plants. And then you have male and female. Now, day four, you have the sun and moon and stars. There were signs. God put them in because farmers use them. We use them. People on the ocean use them, the ships. They're there to help us. And certain places, the sun are certain days of the year, the North Star and all those kind of things, they help us. And the stars also help us with our calendars eventually. You had the sun. We talked a little bit about the sun. He made the moon. And there you have the sun and moon together. Then he made the stars. And there you have all three of them together. And they never, since the day they were created, day four, they've never collided or got out of order. Nothing collides. Everything works just like God wanted it to work. And the purpose of these lights was to give light on earth for day and night. The stars, if we didn't have stars, it'd be a dark night. Sometimes when we have a gloomy night and the stars are covered over, it's terrible. Back in the old days, when they were planning gospel meetings in the summer, the gospel meetings were always planned on a certain occasion every year in the summer. Do you know when they had them in the summertime? When there was a full moon. Because the people went to church in carriages, in wagons, and on their horses. And when the services were over, they wanted to be able to see to go home. They held them when the full moon was out. That was always the practice back in the old days. Because that's what they give light. Even at nighttime they do. And distinguish day and night. There's the sun. Remember we talked about how hot it is? If it was just a little closer, we'd all burn up. A little farther away, we'd all be frozen. And then you have the moon. The same thing. One, just a few degrees farther and away from us, what would happen? There's the surface of the moon. The Milky Way. How many stars there are. It's like you just read, it's billions and billions and billions of stars. And then there you have the earth. There you have the earth. And there you have all three of them. God created them all. No matter how far you are, we'll always be under the same sun, moon, and stars. Isn't that something? And there's a truth to that. I'm going to preach about it coming up a little later in one of my lessons. There's a reason why, because every human being that's ever been created is created in the image of God. And they all have the proof. The heavens are teaching them. God's teaching you with that. And he's also teaching it with the sun, moon, and stars. No matter where you are, we all get the same message. And that's why we're without excuse to say there's no God. And then if you seek, the Bible says, of course, you'll find them. So, that takes us now to day five. We're in day five now. And let's see what's going to happen. Starting in verse 22. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly. After their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, God saw it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Whenever we have these readings, I want you to always remember, notice the things that are kept on being repeated. Now, God said, see, no evolutionary process. There wasn't billions of years. These fish now and birds that are going to be created, they didn't come from some one little cell, and then they grew into some kind of snake, and the snake got fins, and then the fins got gills, and then billions of years later you have great fish. That's not how it started. In 24 hours, it says, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. Now, it's interesting. The word abundantly, that really means let the seas, rivers, and oceans swarm. Really, what it teaches here in Hebrew is let the swarms start swarming. And let the crawlers start crawling. That's what it means in Hebrew. So it's going to be abundant. You're going to have abundant fish. Everything's ready. This is a picture of Lake Tahoe. I used to live about a half hour from here when I lived in Reno, Nevada. You'd go up the mountains. If you've never been to Lake Tahoe, that's the water. First time I saw it, I said to my friend who showed me, I said, what's that down there? He goes, that's Lake Tahoe. I'd never seen water like that. The waters are ready now. Everything's ready. And now here come the fish. Here come everything. Look, guys. Look what he makes, Solomon, here. See, there's the different color fish. There's a big one there. There's the starfish. See all the seaweed and algae. Everything's in place. All the different colors. Some are strange looking. Some are pretty. Some are big. You can see their eyes there. There's their mouth. All these things. They're told to swarm. They were swarming. Look at Exodus 1 and verse 7. Here's how the same words used, and you'll understand when God said, what does it mean abundantly? In Exodus 1, 7, remember they have a new king now. And they're afraid about the children of Israel because they're growing so much. In Exodus 1 and in verse 7 it says, but the children of Israel were fruitful and they increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's what you have here. That's what you have. The moving waters now, they're just filled. They were empty a little while ago, and now there's more and more. More and more. And again, all the different types of fish that are going to be in this water. Moving creatures. Now that's the idea of moving. They had the ability to move. Look at Psalm 69:34. They had that's the difference now. They could move on their own. In Psalm 69, verse 34. Psalm 69 and in verse 34. Here's what it reads. Psalm 69 and in verse 34. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. And that's what we have here. They're all moving now. All the different things. Now, here's the biggest fish that's known today. There you have it right there. Y'all looking, guys? The whale shark is the biggest fish. It's 33 feet long. That's three for David. It's three basketball players. It's three basketball hoops and a little bit more. There's a six-foot guy about. That's the difference. The basking shark is 26 feet. Those are the two biggest. Now, they're not going to hurt you. They don't eat people or anything like that. The basking shark just lays around. But if you saw them probably in the water, they'd scare you. But those are the two biggest that we have today. And then you have different types of reptiles you have in the water. Now, these are just different kinds that, not all of them, but these are just some that you have. The turtle, Oh, yeah, you think it's just fish, but it wasn't. It was anything that moves in the water. Now, some of these go outside the water, but they got to have water to live. And you have the lizards and the gecko and the crocodile and the snake. All those are being made. And then you have these kind of creatures. You have crabs and oysters and shrimp and mussels. So you have, it's not just fish that we have in our mind. God made all of these things. That's why, you know, when we get sometimes ready to give thanks for our food, you know, maybe not, I never had shark before. But if you did, you might have had dolphin. But these kind of things, I did have this to eat one time. It was the worst tasting food I ever had in my life. And someone said they didn't cook it right. I don't know if you could cook it right. I don't know what you'd have to do with it. Maybe put chocolate on it. Maybe that's the thing I could think of. It didn't taste very good. And all these. That's why we say, before we have dinner time, what do we say? Thank you, Lord, for our food. God made it. He sure did. And all these different abilities. And then, of course, during this time, there were fish, of course, that aren't here. You know, they aren't around anymore. When you think about, we talk about the dinosaurs, the aquatic dinosaurs. Now, the word dinosaurs, we're going to do a whole Wednesday night on dinosaurs and in creation, how they're in there. It answers a lot of good questions, I think. The word dinosaur wasn't used till the late 1800s. It wasn't used. It's a man-made, it's an English word. The word dinosaur really means great reptiles or big sea monsters. And monsters, we think, is Frankenstein monster or the monster King Kong, those kind of monsters. The word monster just means big. And in the movies and all that, in our lives, monsters is something, I'm going to be a monster. And it scares you. But the word monster originally just means something big. There was big sea monsters, big sea creatures that could move. And, of course, the most famous one in the water, of course, was the Leviathan. And if you turn to Isaiah, well, let's go to Psalms 104. Because we're going to talk about this, and you're probably familiar with this. We won't look at the exact description, but this is an aquatic animal that nobody could capture. You can capture sharks. People catch white sharks, you know, the great whites. But the Leviathan, you couldn't. And Psalms 104:24. O Lord, it said, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. 104:25. This great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things. You can't even number the things that God made that he put in this water now. Living things, small and great, and we tried to show that. There are ships that sail about. There is the Leviathan which you have made to play there. Now the Leviathan, as we'll look at later on, you might have mentioned, that's definitely what we would call a dinosaur. It's not around anymore. And the idea of even some of the animals that are mentioned in the Bible had fire come out, like dragons. And I remember when, I keep forgetting his name. Tim, what's our, Don Patton. Remember Don Patton said, there's not a civilization that's ever been found in archaeology that didn't have some kind of myth or story about a fire-breathing dragon. And one of the reasons is because the Bible talks about fire-breathing animals. Oh, that doesn't make sense. You mean like in the Disney movies, they got a fire-breathing dragon? Well, they did in the Bible days. They had some fire-breathing ones. And we'll look at some of those. And where do they fit in? God created them. And we'll talk about some of those things. But here you have. All this is being created now. The waters are full. Everything. And notice what it says now. Which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Now, that's really important for us to understand. After their kind, they had life, moving, and again, when they reproduced, the fish did not become mussels, and the crabs didn't become, a lobster or something like that. That's important for us to understand. And then, here you have swarms, just swarms of fish. Then God created the fowls. Then he created fowls. Now, fowls are birds that fly. It says, what do? They fly above the firmament in heaven. And, of course, that would be like flying about up in the sky. Now, what kind of birds? I hope this is the best I can get this many. I know it's sometimes hard to see. But look up here, especially young people. Here's some of the birds. There's owls. There's woodpeckers. There's turkeys. Hummingbirds. There's seagulls. There's geese, ducks, there's falcons, there's, you know, ostriches, and there's kiwis, and there's doves and pigeons, all the different kinds of birds that could have been. Now, there are 40,000 different species of birds. Now, God didn't, I don't believe God made 40,000. But he made some birds. And how many? I don't know. Different kinds? Yes. And now you have different birds. This kind of bird and this kind of bird reproducing together. And you get a third kind. And then a fourth kind and so forth. So you have different species now producing. But they're all birds. They're all birds. And as I'll mention in a moment, there's one thing that makes you a bird that you have to have to be a bird. You have to have feathers. And they have feathers. So God, he made fowls that fly. Parrots, little birds, big birds, bats, all those kind of things. And here's what's interesting. That's why this verse means a whole bunch. God made all these birds. Now look at Matthew 10:29. How many times have you read this? And I hope it means a little bit more now to you. He's telling us not to worry. He's telling us not to worry. And there's 40,000 kind of species of birds now. Maybe by the Bible days there might have been 20,000. Who knows? But what does he say now in Matthew here? What verse did I give you? 10:29. Look what it says. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? That the idea of something happening to a bird, no matter what it is, God knows. Because God made them. God even knows about the birds. Because that's the way God is. That's the way God is. He's just great. So he made the birds. Now God created great. Well, first of all, this is the biggest bird here. The biggest bird that's known is the ostrich. That's the biggest bird. And it can grow to be close to 9 feet. And they say they're kind of ornery if you get close to them. I don't know. But that's the biggest bird there is today. And I don't know if you want, you tell your parents you want a pet bird. Parents, don't say which one, because they might pick you this one. Say, oh, I'll give you whatever you want. Well, they might want this bird. And that's the biggest one you can get. And now, great whales are created. Now, the word create there is the word bara, B-A-R-A. And it's only used 3 times. In verse 1, God created, that's bara, 21. God created, and then in verse 27, when God creates man, that means he makes him out of nothing. Maybe the other things, he does some other things, but the idea of making something here. Great whales. Now the word great, the idea of great whales. Here's the biggest whale in the world today. It's 97 feet long. I don't know how far it is from here to there, but that's a long way. 100 feet, that's the blue whale. And don't be afraid, it just eats plankton and things like that. There's an elephant next to it. Guys, look at this. Young people, look at this. Solomon, look at this. There's a big old fish, and there's an elephant. That's how big this fish is. This whale. There's a man up there. That's how big. He makes great whales. Now, that's the English word. Really, what he, in Hebrew and Greek, he made great serpents. Serpent is what they called something, that a big object that lived in the water. And some of them are called dragons. Some other versions say sea monsters. Now again, when we hear serpents and sea monsters, to us, it sounds like something scary in a monster movie. But that's not the original meaning what they meant. Like great lizards, that's what a dinosaur is. A dragon. That was just the size and the description. Look in Exodus 29 and verse 3. Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel. 29 and in verse 3. Here you have God speaking. And again, the same word is used, but I want you to see great whales. Is the same word for whales is used for other words too. In 29 verse 3. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great monster who lives in the midst of the rivers. He's called a great monster that lives in the rivers. That's just a great size fish that lives in the water. It's not somebody that's terrible or mean. It's just a great size fish. That's what God made here. He made some great sized fishes. Look at 32:2 in Ezekiel. 32 in verse 2. The Son of Man, Ezekiel 32, verse 2, take up speech for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and this is what I want you to say to him. You're like a young lion among the nations. You are like a monster in the seas. Now we'd say, oh, that's a monster. No, it's the same as saying, you are like a serpent in the sea. You are like a great whale in the sea. And this whale here wouldn't hurt anybody unless you got close to it. I mean, it's not like, Moby Dick or some of those kind of movies where they make it, or Jaws or something like that. So I want you to understand, when it says he made great whales, that's great size fishes. And really the word means he made crawlers that are in the water. And again, that would be, some of the dinosaur type animals that we see today. And people say, well, were there dinosaurs? Sure there were. They got bones. Remember Don Patton brings the different sized dinosaur bones that we have. And so we know that they were. Now look what it says. Great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly. They bring back, we go back to, when we talked about, there it is, they're abundant. Be abundant. That moves, the waters brought forth after their kind. And that's so important for us to remember. After their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. We talked about how important. The fish produced fish. Alligators, alligators. Snakes, snakes. There's 10,000 species of fish. 40,000 species of birds. And again, were there that many here? No. I mean, common sense teaches you that. We know that over there, every year, I'm not a big fan of this, Laura is, but the Westminster Dog Show, how many here, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I know a few of you probably like those dog shows. I never even heard of it until I met her. Every year they have a new category for a dog. They have a new category for a dog because certain dogs are bred together. Now you have a collie this and this kind of shepherd dog, and they have all the different species. Every year there's a new kind of dog. And I'm sure when God created the fish and the birds, he didn't create them all. And then when it came time for the ark, of course, he just took some birds on. He took, the fish, we'll talk about that. He took some birds and so forth. But look what he says. So, he said it was good. Now notice what God does. And God blessed his creation here. This is the first time God gives a blessing. Now, to bless somebody means you wish them well. When someone sneezes, I don't know how that ever started. Oh, God bless you. What you're saying is, God, please help them to feel better. That's what it means. Oh, God bless you. Because you're sick, and you don't want to be sick anymore. And whatever it's causing you to sneeze. So this is the first time God blesses them. But he blesses them with a commandment, which is interesting. Do you remember when Isaac got Esau to make his porridge and his food and so forth. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll bless you before I die. That just meant, I'm going to wish you the best. And when we say to somebody, God bless you, what we're saying is, may God be with you. May God help you. Now, notice what he blesses. Here's what he says. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. For those with this life now, I want you to grow, I want you to reproduce, and I want you to keep doing what you're made to do. It's a form of a command. Be fruitful and multiply. That's your purpose. I'm putting you here. Now here's what you do. Be fruitful. Don't just sit around. Be fruitful and multiply. Do what you're here to do. Be productive. Be fruitful. Multiply. Be productive. Bear fruit, however else you want to put it. And then, fill the waters. Multiply the earth. Fill the waters. We want more fish. All those kind of things. And of course, God said, after your kind. Now, what makes fish different? God made fish. What makes fish different? I just want you to see. Here he makes two groups of people, the fish and the fowl. And they're totally different. They're cold-blooded. They only live in water. They have gills to breathe, fins for movement, have a swim bladder that keeps them up. They can even sleep and not sink. And they have a backbone. Now, some of those things are a little bit like man has maybe half of one of those. We don't have fins. We don't have a swim bladder. Well, we got a backbone, like a spine, that kind of thing. But fish are different. God made them. They're different. All God's creations are different. How about birds? They have the ability to fly. They're winged. They're the only living animal that has feathers. The only one. And so when you think about these two things that were made this day, they're totally different. They all can breathe, though. But they don't have anything other than the physical these physical qualities. Not one, of course. Now, man is going to have nephesh, which is they're going to be the word nephesh is used, a living creature. Man is a living creature. We have the breath just like the animals, but we have something else. We have the breath of life, which is a soul. That makes us totally different, of course, from all of them. Now, notice. He blesses them, tells them to be fruitful and fill the earth. Reproduction does not just happen in the animal kingdom and in our kingdom. The human kingdom, it just doesn't happen. We have to be blessed. Animals have to be blessed. God's blessing. Everything's got to work in a certain way. God, you've got to want to, then God's got, you know, all the physical things that have to be in place, all those kind of things. God has a hand in everything. And sometimes everything is physically all right. Sometimes it's not. Heredity passes on. But the idea of God is with us. And if you're blessed with a child, it's because God had a hand in it. And if you're not, it's not that God didn't want you to, but again, he puts us into certain situations and heredity and things that might happen in our life, and we just don't have the ability to have them. And God still wants us, he blesses us and wants us to be good friends to those children and good grandparents, or not grandparents, you know, good aunts and uncles and those kind of things. But God has a hand when he blesses us. He wants us to be, you know, faithful servants of his, and if we are blessed with children, to realize they truly are a blessing from God. And now we come to day 6. That's our next class. Man still needs a few more things. He's got the animals, he's got the air and the water and the vegetation, he's got the fish and the birds. Now it's time to bring man on this planet. And what happens now, the rest of the chapter 1, he's going to finish it, then you'll have day 7 on chapter 2. And then the rest of chapter 2, he tells you, now let me tell you how I did some of the things in chapter 1. A lot of people get it mixed up by thinking that chapter 2 is days later and so forth. No, he gets to the point in chapter 1, and he tells you what happened. He rested the seventh day, now chapter 2. Then he goes, now let me tell you how I did some of the things. I made a garden. I think he made the garden on the 4th, 5th day. Maybe even the 6th day. He made it sometime. He puts man in there. All the animals come by. He's in the garden when he does that. But then woman's made for him. And of course, woman was made in the 6th day. So all that happens during that time. And then that's what chapter 2. It describes what went on behind the scenes, we would say. It's not a whole nother story. And so we're going to talk about that. And then some of the land animals that he's going to make now. He's going to, God, we still need some animals and on the earth. And then at the end, it's all finished. And God did it all. So that's going to be next week. We'll go on and we'll talk about day 6. If you have any questions or anything like that, always feel free to ask me or text me or something. If I didn't mention something you'd like to know, what about this? As I said, when we finish, get all through the days and a couple more classes, I'll have a whole class on dinosaurs, how they fit in. A whole class probably on the Garden of Eden. And where was it? Can you go there today? Is there anything, something that's unique about the Garden of Eden? Wherever it is, it had to be a nice temperature because they had no clothes on and they weren't cold. And, it was temperature was nice there. And you have mountains, so it wasn't up on top of a mountain because the mountains are colder. Someone said, well, God made it nice everywhere. No, everything was in place. You have, you know, you have the mountains. Top of mountains is a lot colder than it is in the bottom. And so we'll talk some about that next class period. Okay, Tim's got some songs for us now.
Everyone, we're going to sing Faith is the Victory. Right. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vows below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, my raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. Jesus is real, Jesus is real, Jesus is real, he's so real to
I know most of you might not have it, but if you have a penny, I want you to take it out of your purse or your wallet. If you have a penny. I had to go in the car and find one because most people don't even carry change around anymore. But if you have a penny, I want you to get one out for a moment. I'm not going to do a magic trick. Sorry, Maggie, I can't do that. If you have a penny now, let me tell you a story. A couple was getting out of the car in the parking lot, getting ready to go into a fancy restaurant for dinner. And as they crossed the parking lot, they noticed that there was an older lady bending down and picking up a penny. And they said to themselves, and they thought, is this a needy person? You mean somebody doesn't have any money and they got they're so poor that they're picking up a penny. So they stopped as they passed by to inquire and asked, if everything's all right, and we saw you picking up a penny. Do you need any help? And the lady said, oh, no, I don't need any help. I want you to look at this penny. Look on the back now. Tell me, look at it. Tell me what it says. So the man looked at it and said, it says, the United States of America. Nah, I want you to read on. What does it say? Look again. Look, what does it say? 1 cent. No, she said, turn it over. Tell me what it says. In God we trust. That's on every penny that's made in the United States. She said, when I see a penny, I stop and read what it teaches me to do. And that's in God to trust. It's a way, she said, for God to teach me to do something every day. And every day when I see a penny, I say, hey, that's a message from God, and I get it and I read it to remind me that it's God I'm supposed to trust. You know, if you happen to see a lot of pennies in the streets, you know, sometimes you do. Sometimes you go some weeks, you won't see any. All of a sudden, you start seeing pennies. Maybe it's because God wants to remind you, hey, you're trusting in the wrong things. You need to trust in me. So I hope next time we see a penny. In fact, since I read this little story, I pick up every penny that I see. Sometimes Brighton likes pennies. She thinks, you know, it's money. You can buy lots of things with the pennies, you know. So she likes to have them in her piggy bank. But I'm going to pick one up. And I'm going to remember what it says, that I'm supposed to trust. That's another. You know, the rainbow tells us what? The rainbow says, well, I'm never going to destroy the world again with water. And we see that. That's a good message. And when the sun goes up and the sun goes down and the moon, those are messages that God's got everything in order. And a penny's another way for us to remember that we need to trust in God. It's not just 1 cent of a dollar. It's much more than that. It's got a message, and it's from God. And it says, in God we trust. And the question for all of us tonight is, do you trust in God? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 9, here's what it reads. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 9. Just talked about bodily exercise profit a little. But this is a faithful saying, though. This is what is worthy of all acceptance. This is what's profitable, he's saying. For to this end, we labor and we suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. That's right. He's the Savior. We got to trust. And we trust that when he said, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved. That's what Jesus said. I trust him. And I trust him when he says, if you're a Christian and you fall short, you confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive you. I trust him. And I trust that he's preparing a mansion for me. That's what he said. I trust him. And I trust that he's coming back one day. And I'm going to need his mercy and grace. I trust him. And so I'm going to ask for it every day so I can be found faithful. So next time you see a penny, I hope you won't just maybe walk by without at least acknowledging that it's got a biblical message. And it's a helpful message. And that little lady, she sure taught some people that day. In God we trust. And if you want to begin trusting the Lord today, we'd love to help you right now while we stand and sing.